Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, joined today by Glenn Block. Welcome back, Glenn.
Hey, Ron.
So it's great to have you here talking about your... Now, you guys just did a new release of this thingy you're building. What's this thingy?
Well, we haven't officially released it yet. Okay. WCF Web API is the thingy.
Okay. Love that name. All right. So last time you were on, you kind of showed us one of the cool things you could do with this with handlers and content negotiation, and you got back like a picture, and you asked for an image and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So this time you're going to show me some other kind of cool extensibility pieces of this.
Yes. So one of the things was when we started off on the web API, we had a goal from the get-go to really make it HTTP specific.
Right.
Because we heard a lot of feedback from customers who have worked with our stuff in the past that says, yeah, I can access HTTP, but it's not really ideal. So this is why you've seen, if you've seen any of my talks, I use this first class, which has gotten kind of corny, but I use this because really we are serious about saying, let's have this great support. And what we've noticed, and we've been working with lots of customers that are building these HTTP-based systems, and they've been validating whether or not we're going the right way or not based on the kinds of real-world systems that they've been building.
Right.
Because we always have that challenge, right? Like, we can go and spend a month trying to build a sample, but it's still, at the end of the day, a sample. So we've really tried to rely on a group of advisors to help us there. And what we saw was there's a common set of concerns that you need to address when you're building these HTTP-based systems.
Yeah.
Because HTTP is more than just a transport protocol, there's a whole bunch of things like e-tags and, you know, we talked about formatting, representations of the body, gzip if you want to do compression. There's all kinds of concerns that you need to address. And today in WCF, you do that within the operation itself, which is not really reusable logic, and it makes the code harder to read. Like, my service is just supposed to return a contact. Why do I have to see all this other kinds of goop there?
Yeah.
Now, there may be times when I want to do HTTP-specific things within my operation. We're not blocking you, so that's a principle here. We're not blocking you from doing that. But anyway, in order to address, we noticed that there were two kinds of HTTP-specific concerns.
Yeah.
One was low level, and it relates to things like security, like OAuth. As I've got some HTTP traffic that comes in, there's a bunch of things I need to do related to headers. They're really HTTP specific to the message. And so for that, we've actually introduced an extensibility point called message handlers.
Mm-hmm.
Message handlers are like the channels you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's written channels in WCF knows that it's pretty much a black art. It's not easy.
Yeah, right.
These are like implement a simple method, and they're HTTP specific. So because we made them specific, that allowed us to offer a programming model that's really ideal. You don't have to cringe. And I'm going to show you a handler, message handler, so you can see how those work.
Yeah.
And then we said that there's a bunch of concerns we see that relate to where a message moves into my object domain, where that message goes from a message, say, to a contact. And we saw some of that with formatters, but it's not just relating to the body.
Right.
It might be taking portions of the URI and turning those into objects that appear on the operation. And for those, we actually have things called operation handlers.
Ah.
And we're going to take a look at the operation handlers and the message handlers right now. The primary difference between the two, though, is that message handlers are they're set up for your hosting environment.
Yeah.
So the same message handlers will apply to all of your operations, because at that level, it's just a message that's coming in. With operation handlers, you can actually configure them per operation.
So I just was thinking, some people are looking at this going, WCF Web API, what in the world are they talking about? Okay, so let's back up for a second and say, WCF is a lot of things, right? And we're not getting rid of stuff. We're not yanking things out of the box or shutting off, like, you know, the old WCF you loved and knew and or hated or whatever you thought about it.
It's still there.
It's still there,
in
right?
whatever way you feel about it, it's still present, yes.
Okay. But there was one thing that we did, this REST starter kit thing, which was like a way for us to explore this space.
Yes.
And we're saying this is the replacement for that thing.
Absolutely. And pretty much everything you've seen in the REST Starter Kit is making its way, not identically, because mm-hmm. we've productized it, yeah. whereas the REST Starter Kit was more of an experimentation.
Yeah.
But to give you an example, and we've gone further, mm-hmm. like REST Starter Kit had HTTP request message and response message.
Yeah.
We now have a real one in the framework that's coming, and we use those messages on the client and the server. So you'll
right.
see in a future episode how a service can actually get an HTTP request message or return an HTTP response message.
Right, right.
So we've really brought that to the next level, which we couldn't do before because
yeah.
it wasn't actually in the platform. Our entire stack is built top to bottom on top of these new HTTP messages. As a matter of fact, you're going to see them when we look at our message handlers and our operation handlers.
Cool. Okay, just wanted to set some context.
Yep.
All right, let's look at what you got.
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to show you is I have an application. If you've seen our CodePlex drop, you've seen a contact manager app. This is the version I'm actually going to show at Mix, or this is the version I actually showed at Mix. And what it does is it's really just a static HTML page if you look at it. It's not even an ASP.NET page.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point I tried to drive home here is this is all client-side, and it's using JSON and jQuery to basic, you know, JSON as the format to be able to retrieve the data from the server.
Right.
Now, before I showed you how I could view an image, I can still view an image here.
Yeah.
But let's say that I actually wanted to support something like an image extension, which would allow me to put an extension in my URI. We call that a bookmark. So
okay.
I could do like contact/one.png.
Ah.
So before I couldn't do that. Before
right.
I could only work with the accept headers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now our whole content negotiation though works off of accept headers.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect place where operation handlers can help me.
Yeah.
Because I can write an operation handler that looks at the URI as it's coming in.
Yeah.
Before we've started to rip it apart with parameters and things, and looks and says, is there an extension on the URI?
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
there is, I'll actually go accept the accept headers. I'll override the accept header so it looks like
yeah.
you came at me with accept headers.
That's a beautiful thing, because a lot of times people, you know, in the REST community, a lot of times people say, if I can't get what I want just from a bookmarked URI, you're asking me to do too much, right? If you ask me to put a bunch of headers and special goo in there, I don't like that. I just want a URI.
Well, and what I've learned since I've really been involved with the REST community is actually the two are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Because I can come at you with accept headers and I just go to contact/one
yeah.
without specifying an extension.
Yeah.
But what the HTTP spec says is you can set a content location header that tells me for future reference,
yeah.
here's the bookmark that then if I'm coming from a browser, because a browser will send its own accept headers.
Yeah.
I can't expect for it to change the headers. There's no way in markup, and I wouldn't want to
yeah.
put in a hyperlink that says, oh, here's the accept headers
yeah, right,
to send
right.
with the link.
Yeah.
So the bookmarks are really valuable, and you can actually use both approaches.
Yeah.
And
good.
Here I'm only showing one side to that.
Okay.
So in order to do that, we mentioned how we have these things called operation handlers.
Mm-hmm.
So here you can see that I have this thing called a URI format extension handler. Now, we may bake something like this in the box, but the important thing I want you to realize here is that even if we didn't,
yeah.
we're surfacing, and to make it relatively, very, I would say very easy to handle these kinds of concerns,
yeah.
so you don't have to wait for us if there's something you want to do.
Yeah, right.
I don't want you to look at this and say, oh man, why are you pushing this in my face that I have to do this?
Yeah.
I want you to think of it more as opportunity to do the things that we haven't gotten around to doing yet, or maybe we don't even see the market demand to justify it, but you still want it. Fine. Have yeah. it.
Let me do it. Just let me do it.
Exactly. Have it my way. So here you can see that I have this thing called a URI format extension handler.
Okay.
It inherits from HTTP operation handler, and that is overloaded similar to Funk.
Okay.
It has all these different overloads
right.
where the last parameter is the return value.
Okay.
In this case, I'm not actually returning anything, so I'm just putting object, and we'll just ignore it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I want to get access to the raw request, and I'm doing that through these new objects that I told you about
okay.
that we're shipping called HTTP request message. Now, this particular handler is taking a collection of mappings. If we look at what those mappings are, they're actually saying that for this extension,
uh-huh.
this is the associated media type that I want.
Okay.
And I'll show you in a minute about how we hook that up. So then what I'm doing is, when my request actually executes, let's run that to see it really working real time. And now let's go here and do what we were doing again. So we'll do like contact/1.png. Boom. You okay. See, I fell in.
Right.
And now I have access to this nice request object, and it's strongly typed. I can see all the headers and everything I want, and it's all very, very nice. It's not just strings. And now if I step through, you can see that I'm looking and seeing, does that actually have an extension in it? Now, you could change this algorithm. This is just mine. It turns out, yes, I have a dot at the end. Great. Okay. So now I'm going to rip that URI apart. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm going to do is look against my collection to see, do I have something? And notice I did starts with, because one of the patterns we see is when people do localization, they might do like .xml.fr. Mm. I don't want to stop you from doing that,
right,
so that
right.
still works. All I care about is a partial match. If I find it, then I'm going to create a new URI.
Yeah.
This is like Bionic Man. I'm rebuilding it better, ripping that extension out. And the reason I want to rip that extension out is I don't want the operation to now have to deal with the fact that if there's an ID, that it's 1.xml and has to parse it.
Right, right.
Now I've gone and modified the request. I've cleared the accept headers.
Yeah.
That's going to allow the existing infrastructure to just work that does content negotiation off of the accept headers. I've now set the URI. So I've really intercepted and just modified the request early enough before anything even saw it.
Cool.
There I go. Then I get my net result of my image.
Sweet. All right. That was easy.
Now, the next question is, how do you hook this up? So we've heard a lot of feedback about the complexities of configuration with WCF. And, you know, some people love angle brackets. Others are not such fans of that. So we've been exploring different ways to do things with code-based configuration. That's a term we use, but if you're familiar with, like, Fluent APIs.
Yeah.
Now, this code that I'm showing here is actually not what's in the box of our bits. It's a little bit syntactic sugar on top.
Mm-hmm.
It will be in our CodePlex bits. It's not committed yet to our internal tree. So we're using our CodePlex release as a way of exploring also other ways of doing things.
Okay.
But if you look on our service host, you'll actually notice if you just newt it up yourself or a service host factory. That it actually has this message handler factory and this operation handler factory. So those factories are the ways you say, if there's anything that I want to do related to these handlers,
mm-hmm.
I do it by creating my own custom factory that I own. And then in the future, I can just add to that factory so I don't have to keep modifying lots of code to make it happen. So if you look here, I'm actually using this prototype Fluent API I was telling you about. And in my configuration, which is my global.asax, not markup, I'm actually calling this set operation handler factory.
Yeah.
And I'm passing in this contact manager operation handler factory. So if we jump into that, we can see that it's doing a couple of things. In the past endpoint TV, we showed you formats.
Right.
We'll look at this in a future episode, but you can now configure formats there. But here is where I'm creating my mappings. You can see I'm mapping XML, JSON, PNG and OData.
Ah, sweet.
And then we have these two overrides. That's all you've got to write. All you've got to do is return us a collection of operation handlers. If you don't even like our default configuration, don't call the base. I don't advise you do that because there are a set of handlers that we put in place.
Mm-hmm.
But you can notice that I'm actually inserting the URI format extension handler before any of those base handlers even run. So because we give you a list, we let you manipulate it any way that you want to.
So you can get first shot at the message.
Exactly, and I mm-hmm. want to do that here because we have stuff that picks up that request and starts to rip things out.
Right.
So
right.
before it does that, I want to say, let me get rid of that dot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sweet.
So that's operation handlers. You can do other things, like here I have a compression handler that does gzip compression. We'll discuss that in another episode. I'm going to move on because mm-hmm. I want to show you the other part, which is the message handlers, because I've told you how the message handlers are really simple. Now, if you look in my global.asax again, you notice that I also have this message handler factory.
Right.
Now, the message handler factory is really what we call a Russian doll model. The message handlers chain to one another.
Yeah.
Operation handlers are a pipeline where things flow through and each one has an option.
Mm-hmm.
Message handlers actually get the ability to just stop the request dead in its tracks.
Right.
Because I just don't call the next one.
Yeah.
So here I have a message handler factory and I'm just passing a set of types. And here I have a logging channel. And what that logging channel is doing is really simple. Now, one thing about the message handlers that's nice is they're all based on the new Task API, the TPL. They can actually do async. Operation handlers are sync, but message handlers can be async, which you can do some really cool stuff there.
Yeah.
And if you look here, whenever a request comes in now, I'm saying, I want to do logging, and I'm using the trace APIs. So let's run it again, and then we'll go look at our output window in VS, and we'll see that the request is actually being traced. Well, here we see the breakpoint.
Right.
Then we run into our operation handler, so we have both aspects of the pipeline here.
Yeah.
And now if we jump over and we look at our output window, and we scroll up, you can see this begin request.
Yeah.
That's my log entry.
Yeah, there you go.
So what I want you to look at, just as in closing, is look how easy it was to write this message handler. Now, notice there the API says channel. That's going to be renamed.
Okay.
They're going to be renamed to message handlers.
Mm-hmm.
But very easy for you to get in the middle. And notice there I called that base.send async. If I don't call that and I just return, then I'm done.
Yeah.
So I can do validation at that level and say, based on some parameters you put in the URI, I don't like it. I don't want it ever to even go to the operation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is what we believe that these two extensibility points are going to address like 95% of your concerns when you're building a system exposed over HTTP. And we think that's going to make Web API much easier for developers to consume.
Right.
And it doesn't get in your face. You don't have to do it. You only do it if you want to do it.
Beautiful, beautiful work. So you're going to have a session at MIX. You're going to talk about all this stuff.
I am.
For people who are not at MIX, they can see the video.
Yes.
It'll be on the web, so then go check it out. Thanks for joining us today, Glenn.
Thank you, Ron. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.